This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We begin hour number two. It is VSiN by the Books. I'm Dave Ross here, Circus Sports, downtown Las Vegas. He is our closer, Jensen Lewis, in Georgia, before he makes his trek back to Cleveland, Ohio, later on today. Jensen, great to have you back here on this Monday. No games to call today, right? So you finally get a break in the pipes here after we're done with By the Books?
I'm telling you, yesterday was historic here at the Athens Regional, and I know we'll jump in our next segment for everyone looking for those updated brackets, and there have been plenty of bracket busters in this tournament already, and it happened here in Georgia as the number one seed, the Bulldogs, end up getting beat by the number two, Duke Blue Devils. They end up taking down this regional. Actually, it was Oklahoma State that walked off Georgia. Yesterday was surreal day, okay? So we had 37 home runs. 37 home runs in six games. Like, this place, I was texting with Gil Alexander from a numbers game, and I was like, dude, I don't even know if you realize, like, this is how crazy this is here. And he just texted me, oh my God, it's Coors Field.
Yes.
And I'm like, yep, it's basically the core, it's basically the college equivalent. Buddy, you would love this place from an atmosphere standpoint. So over the right field wall, they have, I think it's part of Fraternity Row.
Oh.
And so there's a hill that overlooks the right field fence. And so there's all these pickup trucks that are backed up with seats and tailgates on the back. I mean, there's like 200 kids up there, like a little tailgating, you know, getting all lubed up there. But it was electric. Oklahoma State, their nine-hole hitter as a freshman, walks off Georgia in the bottom of the ninth to eliminate Georgia. And then Oklahoma State's leading 2-0 into the eighth inning. Duke is the home team. Duke ends up scoring three in the bottom of the eighth. And then what I've never seen in my life, it's the first ever in college baseball postseason history. There is a runner interference call that ends Oklahoma State's season in the ninth inning.
Wow.
It is just surreal. For people that haven't seen the ending to our game, our second game yesterday, it's unbelievable how a season comes to an end with that simple rule change, and it's a significant one now because that helps send Duke into the Super Regional. So my call last night, David, I know you appreciate it. The Devils came down to Georgia and stole a regional.
A little homage to Charlie Daniels in that great song. Wow, fascinating. I'm glad that it sounded riveting. It looked riveting from watching some of that on ESPN as well through the weekend. So, again, it's still not over. We'll get to some of those Monday contests that we have today and some of those winner-take-all scenarios. That will be coming up in the next segment. But without further ado, hour number two, highlights and headlines.
Help your bottom line with today's highlights and headlines.
I don't want to use the word inevitable with Scottie Scheffler because I don't want it to be like a negative connotation. Like, it's just inevitable. That's what Scottie Scheffler does. But we're getting into that territory, right? So what does he do yesterday? And he got pushed a little bit by Ben Griffin, who's been playing fantastic golf. But as you're going to hear in a second from the Golden Bear, there are levels to this game. Okay, so Scotty wins back-to-back at Jack's Place. And it is one of those cool things where you're sitting there and you're shaking the hand of Jack Nicklaus. You know this. It's in your neck of the woods there in Dublin, Ohio. And he goes back-to-back to do this 16th career win now on the PGA Tour. And again, Tiger was the last guy to defend here at Jack's Place. Tiger did it three times in a row. So right now, Scotty again has three successful PGA Tour defense of his championships. Only Mickelson, who did it five times, and Tiger, who did it 23 times, have had more defenses of their crowns in the last 30 years. Jensen, this is rarefied air, man, that we're getting to every week with Scottie Scheffler whenever he tees it up.
Love it, man. And this is kind of what golf needs right now, right? Is who is the heir apparent to Tiger Woods? And we thought it was Jordan Spieth at one point. We thought it was Brooks Koepka. You know, Rory, kind of the international flavor, you know, for the Euros. And, you know, was that kind of the rivalry that could have consummated what would have been just a historic and worldwide battle? Well, now stateside, you have maybe the nicest guy on tour. Who is the fiercest competitor when he's out there, and maybe that one personality, that one consistent guy with game for fours, where no matter what you do, you can't catch him. And that is, we haven't really said that about a player since Tiger, right? Once he got the lead, wouldn't relinquish it. Like the numbers are insane when he would get that. So if he wins, and I'll throw this back to you because I'm intrigued your thoughts about it. If he wins Oakmont, and it's by, you know, 3-4 strokes, like they're pretty significant there for a U.S. Open, right? Where do we have him then? Like, how far into the solar system are we thinking that he can go with this thing? Because at his age, and we know he's a family man, and he strikes me as the guy that's like, when Bennett starts to get, you know, 9-10 years old, he's going to want to be around. So we're looking at maybe a truncated timeline here of him to kind of put all these major wins together.
I'll say this, after all the love fest that was out there for Rory McIlroy, and well-deserved for Rory getting the career Grand Slam at Augusta, you know the guy that had to put that green jacket on him was Scotty, who had won it the year before. To go down there at the PGA Championship the following month at Quail Hollow was a statement to me. And then backing it up now with three wins in his last four times of teeing it up, whether it's the PGA Championship or at Jack's Place, an elevated PGA Tour event at the Memorial, sends a message that, you know, Roy Jones Jr., y'all must have forgot. It's still me. I'm still the guy. I'm still the alpha. To that point, listen, he had a four-shot win over Ben Griffin, who just won a week before on tour. He beat Sepp Straka, who's won a couple times on tour. Here's what Jack had to say about Scotty and where he is right now in the game of golf.
Looking at the leaderboard today, he didn't have, I mean, Ben Griffin's a nice player. Sepp Straka is a nice player. Nick Taylor's a nice player. Those are all the guys that were there basically coming down the stretch. But he knows that those guys, you know, are not in his league. Now, if he'd had, I don't know who else it might have been, but if somebody else at the top, or Xander or somebody like that would have been there, he might have said, well, that might be a little tougher. I might have to do something. He didn't have to.
Those guys aren't in my league, from the Golden Bear himself. Jensen, I love that from Jack, because you know when you're pitching at the highest levels in the bigs, getting some of the best hitters the game has to offer, you know who can beat you and who can't beat you, right? It might come across as arrogance, athletic arrogance, but it's also fact. Jack knows it, and that means Scotty has to know it too, right?
I just think the mental prowess, you know, that you have to have in not only these elevated events, but as we know in the majors, and I think the Masters is one of those great illuminators. The back nine on the final round is one of the great illuminators of where mental strength overcomes any physical ailment or any shortcoming that you may have. And we used to say Tiger at, 50% could lap the field in his prime. You know, what are we saying now about Scotty at, I mean, what percentage could he be? You know, if he's at 100 right now, does the field really have any chance? I mean, you hear Jack Nicklaus talking, and Ben Griffin was on a heater. I mean, this dude was playing about as well as anybody on tour at the time, and basically stood no chance. I mean, it was just kind of like Vin Diesel, you know, in Fast and Furious, where, you know, Paul Walker hits the NOS too early, and then he just blows right by. I mean, it kind of feels what Scheffler is right now. So, I have to agree with Jack that, you know, you give credit where it's due. Those are nice players. They're not great players yet. They're not even close. And that's why I asked you. I'm like, what's the line? What's the gap between where Scotty, whatever he wins Oakmont by, and that's assuming he does, like, what does that tell us about where he is or where he is in relation to where Tiger was in his prime?
Again, he's only got, three majors right now, a couple green jackets and a PGA from last month. He might get the career Grand Slam this year. If he wins at Oakmont and wins at Portrush, Scottie Scheffler will already match what Rory McIlroy took over a decade to do. Just throwing it out there. How about Maja Stark? Congratulations. She wins the U.S. Women's Open by two shots. Her first win on tour. This is the surprising part here, Jensen. In 3 years. So she'd really struggled, missed her last three cuts. Her best finish was a T28 back in February. She's 25 from Oklahoma State, alum, Swedish heritage here, had not won on tour since August of 2022. I'm not saying, you know, normally looking at the Charlie Halls and certainly Nelly Quarters come to mind, but when you see these type of stories, Jensen, just you never know, man. Keep putting it out there, like Ben Griffin kind of turning his career around. It feels like that was Maja Stark this weekend, winning that U.S. Women's Open.
All we need to do is get creatine to your diet. Creatine to your diet, Dave. Apparently that is the elixir there for Ben Griffin getting himself off
the
mat.
Yeah, how about that story?
I take it every single day. I don't know if I'm making a comeback to be a closer, but I can tell you this. That is fantastic. Congratulations to Ms. Stark there. That's a phenomenal achievement.
Yeah, and again, I saw Ben's new regimen to get him back into the tops of the world. I can't go vegan. That's the one thing I can't do. I'll try everything else if that makes me a better broadcaster. I don't know if I can do the vegan part. You can start your day every day with an edge and a game plan. VSiN Daily Morning Podcast is your first look at the day's betting lines, sharp action, money, market movement. In just 15 minutes, you're going to get everything you need to know to make smarter wagers, stay ahead of the line moves, all before you have that first cup of joe in the day. Hosted by VSiN's team of trusted betting experts, the Morning Line Podcast is fast, focused, and built for bettors like you. Listen to the VSiN Daily Morning Bets Podcast wherever you get your podcasts or get it on the VSiN Watch app. The sharpest way to start your day is by checking out the VSiN Daily Morning Bets Podcast. When we come back, let's talk more college baseball, why you are in Athens, Georgia. That is next year. VSiN by the books.
Right here on VSiN.
We continue the Monday edition as VSiN by the books. Dave Ross, Jensen Lewis here. We were talking about Ben Griffin, who came in second place to Scottie Scheffler at the Memorial. So since now winning last week on the PGA Tour, coming in second at Jack's Place, Ben Griffin in 2 weeks has won $2.1 million. In 2 weeks, he's made a lifetime of money. And again, this is a guy that was a mortgage broker a couple of years ago, was going to be off tour. And Jensen, there's a story going around of how Ben Griffin basically has changed his complete life since rededicating himself to the game of golf. I mentioned he's gone vegan in his diet. He's given up alcohol. And he also plays with a Maxfly golf ball. And people are like, he's not playing Titleist Pro V1s. He's playing Maxflies? Like, is there anything about superstition with athletes? Like, was there something that you say, if you were in a rut, right, that you said, you know what, I need to drink this, I need to eat this, I need to do this, and that's going to get me out of the rut. Was there anything ever for you like that?
Yeah, don't eat Chipotle before a start. That's going to be one.
Rule number one.
No, yeah, I mean, there are certain things, I mean, Turk Wendell, as you know,
yes,
from the Mets, you know, had to have his contract end in nothing but nines. Okay, had the weird clothing superstition, uniform superstition stuff he did. So yeah, we're all a little quirky that way, because if it works, I mean, I went on a 25 and a third inning scoreless streak from AA to AAA, and I had to do the same exact routine every single day. Once you kind of get on a roll, you're like, I don't want to change anything. And then as soon as the streak ends, you're like, well, wait a minute, what did I do wrong? What did I not do? And then, oh yeah, we're all weird like that.
All right, we're going to get to that, some of those superstitions maybe a little bit later on as the season goes. Certainly for yours truly when it comes to the NFL, whether I got to watch from one TV where I can watch certain things, that will creep into mine as well. I do want to get to the to baseball and why you are in Athens, Georgia. And some of the craziness, you've alluded to it a little bit throughout the show here, but Oregon is out. There was controversy on Friday night with a player being called out at home. Jensen, could you break down a little bit of what you have seen over the weekend so far, and then we'll get to Monday's elimination games here today?
Yeah, the Oregon one, to put it quickly, there was a call of malicious intent for the runner coming home to try and score, kind of trucked the catcher at home. But it was, for all of us that have played the game, for all of us that have watched it as long as we had, Dave, there's no malicious intent whatsoever. So, you know, runner gets called out, he gets ejected from the game, and in college baseball rules, Dave, you are suspended for the next game.
Ooh.
So, you know, Oregon loses one of their key players. They end up going 2-Q in their own regional. And so you have five national seeds that are already out. My Vanderbilt Commodores, unfortunately, you know, are the first number one overall seed in the tournament to not make their regional final. The number two seed, Texas, loses to in-state, you know, mid-major UTSA. You think about where, you know, some of these other schools are. The SEC is going to have a headache if a couple of these winner-take-all games don't go their way. And I know we have, I believe, six of them going up tonight. So you're thinking of Tennessee. You're thinking of Ole Miss. LSU is going to go to a winner-take-all after Arkansas Little Rock, the number four seed in that regional, beat them last night. So here's your slate if you're watching the VSiN Watch app, VSiN.com. All these games are game sevens in their respective regionals. And those numbers that you see by those teams, they are the hosts, number one seed. So all these one seeds, Dave, are battling for their tournament lives. It is March Madness in June. Oof. For college baseball. I mean, it is bracket buster territory, left, right, and center. Some cool highlights, though, some big seeds that did get through. Arkansas through easily as the three seed overall. Auburn is the number four national seed. They're in. When you look at Coastal Carolina, I don't know if you've seen any of the video from Conway, South Carolina. They call it the Palace, where the Chanticleers play down there.
Mm-hmm.
Dave, 6,600 people. Ooh. I mean, one of the electric atmospheres that maybe you don't know anything about. They are in to the Super Regionals, and that is their fourth time appearing there. Arizona is in. West Virginia, who I covered last year in the Tucson Regional, they won that one last year. They are back in Super Regionals as an unranked seed as well. And UCLA and Florida State, the other national seeds. Florida State, the number 9 seed. UCLA, the number 15 seed. They are on to Supers next weekend.
Okay, so you mentioned here with some of the issues, obviously, for your alma mater, for Georgia, for Texas. When we were talking about this before we got to this stage, and that, did you want to play SEC or bust in the futures market, right? Like, how much now, and we'll wait to see how the numbers get adjusted here with who actually does make it through, as you mentioned, some of these winner-take-all matchups we're going to see on a Monday here today. How much does that change that equation now with some of those big boys like Georgia, like Texas, like Vandy, not even making it to the College World Series? How would that affect, in your eyes, some of these longer shots that come maybe from some smaller conferences?
I think you look at Arkansas as the clear favorite right now, and if LSU gets in, I would say that they would be a very viable contender. If North Carolina finds their way through today, and I know they have an elimination game, winner take all against Oklahoma, I would say North Carolina from the ACC. Just watching Duke here, this is a dangerous team. However, they may be without two of their star players, one due to injury. Ben Miller got hit by a pitch on Saturday night, was unavailable for yesterday's game. AJ Gracia, who hit the home run in the eighth inning to get their rally started. Dave, you want to talk about just asinine rules in college sports? The Duke Blue Devils, they have a celebratory prop. It's a construction hat. Okay, because their moniker all year has been blue collar. They're mm-hmm. hardworking, they're nose to the grindstone, and when a guy hits a home run, they get this construction hat that they put on. Well, in the eighth inning yesterday, their go-ahead run scores, and AJ Gracia, who has the helmet still on, you talk about superstition, had, because they're in a rally. The dugout is exploding, right? I mean, they've just come back and scored three runs in the bottom of the eighth.
Right.
They're three outs away from Super Regionals. And the umpire tosses him from the game.
Oh.
Because by rule, you're not allowed to have a prop on the field of play due to potential injury. Now, he might have been a step out of the dugout. And the irony of this, Dave, is he tosses the hat. Because I think it went, again, Duke kid, he's smart, he's
right.
Aware. He's trying to get rid of it to not break the rule. So he gets tossed. Here's the rub. They may be without Ben Miller, the Blue Devils, maybe without Ben Miller next weekend, and AJ Gracia for the first game of Super Regionals because he would be suspended due to that ejection.
What do we say, Major League Baseball? Let the kids play? We can't let the actual kids play, even in college? Like, that's one of the things we have to – that's what we're curtailing? Okay, interesting. I know we got to have rules or else there'll be anarchy, but that seems like a little bit of a stretch there. By the way, I'm looking at these winner-take-all games here today and the listed here on the screen here of those six games. How about this? The biggest one by far, LSU. If you want to play them on the run line, you got to lay 5.5 against Little Rock. And that, by the way, is juiced to LSU winning by 6 or more runs at -$1.25. You want to take Little Rock straight up and get them 10-1. Every other matchup here, Jensen, much more tightly aligned, right? Like Carolina is 238 in the money line here. Comeback in Oklahoma is +$1.80. Murray State is a 240 dog to Ole Miss, -330. Yeah, you're getting into some 2.5s and 3.5s in the run line here. Everything else feels like, though, it's semi-competitive, at least from a betting perspective, with the one lone exception of LSU. Is there any danger in that for LSU today being that big, a whopping favorite against Little Rock?
Probably not. And just for people that for next year are looking at handicapping how to play these regionals, to come through the loser's bracket, Dave, you need so much pitching depth. Mm. I mean, but at this point, a lot of these smaller schools are basically out of arms. And so these bigger schools usually have that advantage. And all that being said, we know it can happen.
Yep.
Anything can happen in Game 7. But this would be, you know, Vanderbilt losing to Wright State was a titanic upset yesterday. This one would be right up there, just knowing the pedigree in Alex Box Stadium, one of the most hostile environments to play in all of college baseball. So if Arkansas, that is as true a Cinderella as we would have to stay alive in this tournament. No question about it.
I mean, you know I'm going to gravitate towards Cinderella. I was rooting for Vandy because of you. But if it wasn't you, I'd be rooting for the underdog story, right? But because you're a Vandy guy, we didn't want that to happen. I'll be curious to see if LSU gets a little tight. I wonder if you get a little nervy, like you're the big favorite here. You got to get this job done. Massive favorites again, -2100 here in the money line for LSU to win today. Final crown of the jewel, rather, of the triple crown is here, the Belmont Stakes. No better time to bet this and all the ponies right now, first bet. So new users can sign up and get a $200 sign-up bonus by using the promo code VEASAN200. Whether you're a seasoned horse player or brand new to the sport, First Bet has all the tools to help elevate your horse betting game. Download the app. Go to firstbet.com/VEASAN. Sign up today. That's firstbet.com/VSIN. Use that promo code VEASAN200 to gain your $200 bonus today. The May race is done in Major League Baseball, and what a sweat it was. We'll break it down next. Here is VEASAN by the Books.
VEASAN by the Books, right here on VEASAN.
We are back, VEASAN by the Books. Dave Ross, Jensen Lewis here on this Monday edition as we continue. Jensen, we were just talking during the break a little bit about, like, you know, I grew up, I used to play tennis. Get a little bit older, start playing golf. When you were at the height of your powers as an elite closer in the game, did you feel like you had mastered your sport? Like, because, you know, the masters comes from, they had the greats of the game, the masters of the game of golf, but it almost feels like an oxymoron because the golfers themselves will tell you it's the one sport you cannot master. You cannot necessarily, you're beating a field, but are you really beating the course? Did you feel like at the tops of your powers in Major League Baseball, you thought, I can do whatever I want with this baseball?
You certainly got to points on outings where you're like, yeah, there's no way they're touching me today. And then there are times when you warm up and you're like, how am I getting an out today? it is the scariest pendulum sometimes because, you know, there'll be times, honestly, Dave, you warm up in the pen. And we always used to say, like, you don't want to be like dotting everything because then that usually is not a good sign. That means you're going to get hit. So you want, not necessarily wild or erratic, but yeah, you want to be kind of in and around, you know, the corners and you know, all right, let's save the best for the game. So, I think we always had in the back of our mind, the baseball gods will humble you. And so be, you know, be humble in victory, be gracious in defeat, you know, just just the game is so hard, and it will get you as soon as you think you're on top. It'll knock you down. So no question, you always had that in the back of your mind.
I mean, it is fascinating because go back to Scotty winning at Quail Hollow. Remember he had a case of the lefts? And Scotty Scheffler cannot figure out why the golf ball is just going left. And
yes.
Ted Scott, his caddy's like, just aim further right. And then he started aiming further right, and everything's right down the middle. It's amazing how mental some of these things can be. We had a great race that we discussed, and certainly Gil Alexander on a numbers game, too, loves these betting markets here. And I know Mitch Moss does, too, on later on Follow the Money with Paulie. We had our win total here for May, and it got chaotic. If you had the Phillies, and again, depending on which books you place these wagers at, you might have still gotten a dead heat for the Phillies. But remember, the Phillies going to the last four games, they had a double dip, and then they had two with the Brewers, I do believe, to round out May. And you're like, I got four games, Jensen. I mean, you win two of them, and we're getting a 20, and we're cashing all those tickets, Philadelphia Phillies. Uh-uh. They split that double dip, and then they get run out in two games in a row by Milwaukee, end up in a dead heat with St. Louis and Detroit. Now, here's where those caveats, and we always tell you to check the rules of your book when you place those wagers. Some of those tiebreakers were going to go to who had the least amount of losses. If that was the case, and you had a St. Louis Cardinals ticket, which was an extreme long shot at the beginning of May, cha-ching, cash it. If it goes to run differential, you would go to Detroit. Cha-ching, cash that. Plus 445 was the run differential. Oh, by the way, the Phillies got mollywopped in those last two games to make their run differential look a lot worse than it actually was, plus 19. And Minnesota, remember they lost that one game where they had to get rescheduled? And we talked about it at that time. Like, man, you lose that game. That one game could have cost Minnesota backers as they're at 18. How about the Cubs, man? Like that horse down the stretch, they came charging down it, but come up one win short of getting in that dead heat at 18. Yankees with 17 wins. Colorado barely nipped at the wire, four wins. And the Lakers still haven't won yet in May. But, like, Jensen, when you look at this thing, if you had the Cardinals and or the Phillies, you got to be thinking, how did I win this with the Cardinals and how did I lose this with Philadelphia?
Unbelievable, right? And credit where it's due, because let's recognize St. Louis for putting together what was just an insane month. And one, as you said, from a long shot standpoint, I don't think anyone would have identified them.
No.
Especially with that pitching staff. I think offensively you had a little bit more like, okay, you know, maybe they can hang in to a couple of these games. The offense is actually, you know, swinging the bats pretty well. But for them to make the pitching stand up throughout those 4 weeks, I think it's the most impressive part. The fact that I was even alive, I think the last handful of days with my Chicago Cubs ticket, I think was probably worth the sweat just in of itself. Like, well, maybe this gets here. Maybe this will find its way home. The Minnesota Twins, too. Minnesota was a triple digit,
yep,
you know, long shot to be able to be in that conversation. No way to handicap the weather. You know, it's just unfortunate. You know, if you want to look at that in a June market, you know, before and think about this and file it away for next year, something to factor in, I guess. But I think overall, man, it's just the recent form, the upcoming teams, when you play them. The Phillies, you know, getting the Rockies and, you know, some really favorable scheduling spots helped them out. But, you know, Detroit just continues to be kind of those team, at least that team, that has defied expectations from an offensive standpoint. And, boy, this is – and I wonder if people got the same team at different books because of the different house rules.
Yep.
You know, just in case, just to diversify – in case you get those dead heat rules. So, hey, if you have a Cardinals ticket and you got the fewest losses, congratulations. What a hit right there.
We talk about it, and I do think when you handicap these things, and obviously when you get to July, it's going to be the All-Star break, so it'll be some less games there for every team to play. But I do think you have to think in terms of, again, 20 is always my number in my mind. Is there a team out there that can win 20 games in a month? because, again, you had three teams get to 19, and it's stunning the Phillies didn't get to 20, as we mentioned, because, again, double dip against the Braves, and then two home games against Milwaukee to round out the month, and you couldn't win one of those two. Now, you look at this thing here on the first page, if you're watching here at VSiN.com, and Detroit, first place. Philadelphia, first place. Cubs, first place. Yankees, first place. So you, out of the divisions, you've got four division leaders that were right there at the top of this board. I know that that's the simple, you know, easy handicap of, well, give me the best teams. They're going to play the best baseball in that particular month. The Dodgers may be conspicuous by their absence there. Not a great May for them, right? Is that an easy handicap going forward that you say, man, if the best teams are just that much better than everybody else, I should look to those short shots?
No, because, again, by the same argument, St. Louis then should have been nowhere near the top.
Correct.
Just knowing that the talent level is not even close to what the Dodgers are. So, again, I would say, for people looking to get in these markets, I would look at that last maybe 7 or 8 days of how a team is playing in, because, maybe you kind of catch that tailwind of when they're able to hit the ground running for the first of the month. I would also look at, where their rotations are. Are guys getting length? Is the bullpen, actually locking down these wins? You and I, you have so many complaints with the Reds for a season-long win total, just because how many wins have you coughed up in March and April that you should have had, that should have been banked at that point? So I think that's the uniqueness of this market. You're trying to kind of catch that horse that, is really trending in the right direction and has kind of that head of steam with it as well.
Here's what drives me crazy, speaking of that Reds ticket, okay? They lost the last two against Chicago. They're now two games under 500 again. Every time they get right back to even, like there's like an invisible force field, I think, for the Reds to get over 500 again. How about this? In that division, in the Central, we mentioned the Cubs with a great month, 18 wins. Their run differential is plus 97. St. Louis, who won that and cashed those tickets for you if you had the Redbirds, they're plus 30 in their run differential. They are seven games over 500. The Brew Crew, they've won seven in a row. Here comes Milwaukee. They're plus 18. In the run differential, four games over 500. I mentioned the Reds, two games under. They're plus 30 in run differential. They have the same run differential as St. Louis, and St. Louis is seven games over, and the Reds are two games under. That's not all bullpen, but a lot of it's bullpen, and a lot of this thing is how many times, like the Royals and the American League, are we going to have 1-0 losses for Cincinnati? Like, Jensen, they are better than their record indicates. And I think that's why you and I looked at them last month. But do you still have confidence that Francona is going to figure out a way to get this team over the line?
Yes, because he has been the best second half manager the last decade or so in making those second half adjustments, if you will, roster tweaks, platoon advantages. So I have to go off of recency bias. I've seen it firsthand with the Cleveland Indians. So absolutely got to keep the faith. And again, still in a division two where, I mean, how long can St. Louis do this?
Right.
Let's be honest. How long will the Brewers be around? And just knowing that they're just so undermanned this year. And, the Cubs can Cubs at any time. So it's all there still, I think, for the taking. Long way to go.
Eight and a half back right now for the Redlegs. Come on, Cincinnati. Get your act together. VP Splits, we have access to them here. You can have them as well. When you become a VSiN Pro subscriber and go to VSiN.com/subscribe, as little as $9.99 for your very first month, you get those numbers here from Circa and DraftKings. So no better time to be a VSiN Pro subscriber, VSiN.com/subscribe.
By the books, right here on VSiN.
We are back, VSiN by the books. Dave Ross, Jensen Lewis here with you on this Monday. And yes, a great tweet here from Jason Stark. We appreciate Jason listening and watching. I had said Phillies were in first place. They're not in first place right now. because those Metropolitans swept away the Rockies over the weekend. Yeah. And we mentioned the Phillies losing 2 out of 3 to the Brew Crew. So right now it is the Mets technically in first place. But at the beginning of the month of May, Philadelphia was in first place. But, yeah, how about those Mets, baby? Can we play the Rockies every time, Jensen? Because if the Mets just play the Rocks, I think we're going to be okay and be able to hold off the Phillies and the Braves down the stretch.
Oh, I think anyone that plays the Rockies is just going to be fine. Just pile up the wins here, man. I know we're going to talk how ridiculous this team was. And I guess just to set the stage, you know, you and I became friends this past year. And I think I have seen some bad baseball. Oh. But I remember playing, you know, Guaranteed Rate Field for the Chicago White Sox. Mm-hmm. And last year, my former teammate, Grady Sizemore, taking over as interim manager after one of the historic seasons in the loss department that we'd ever seen. Dave, you couldn't have offered me, I don't even know what odds you could have offered me that in back-to-back years, we would have had a team get worse and maybe in a way that isn't even recognizable. Like, this is futility at its finest for the Colorado Rockies right now.
It's as bad as it gets. I say that raising my voice because I'd hate to see it be any worse. But without further ado, that does kick off our news or noise.
Insists on hearing bad news immediately. Or just noise. Are you going to act like this is news?
Just noise. This is noise.
Let's separate the impactful from the insignificant with one simple question. News or noise?
Okay, here we go. Speaking of those Rocks, are they the worst team to ever play this game of Major League Baseball? The third fastest team to reach 50 losses. I did not cover the 1884 Kansas City Unions or the 1876 Cincinnati Red Stockings. They did it faster, though. They lost those in 50 games in 57 games. So now, Antonio Senzatella, who started the game yesterday against the Metropolitans, he's got more losses, 10, on the season than the Rockies have wins on the season, 9. Jensen, is this the worst team? Is that news or noise?
I think it's news on a couple of fronts here. When you have futility this way, like losing is a toxin, okay? And it certainly impacts you so many different ways, but you know, I think you have a culture, unfortunately, that is used to it, and that starts at ownership. You know, the Monfort family has been ridiculed in the last couple of years for not putting together competitive teams, or at least not spending enough money to do that. And you're seeing kind of what happens when that not only is at the big league level, but the reinvestment into the minor league system isn't there. What I'm told, Dave, is that they are so far behind that from modern analytics, from modern technology, you know, you're still writing on a piece of paper instead of using a calculator. Like that's how far, just to give people an analogy, that's what I'm told, how far behind they are in the modern day of evaluating players, of assessing talent, et cetera, et cetera. Like this is only gonna get worse. And I don't know if I've ever seen numbers on June 1st, June 2nd, 500-1 in the division, 500-1 to win the World Series. Like, it just is not fathomable for me, well, having played the game.
I'm so glad you brought that up because I'm looking at that number. They're 27 games back at the Dodgers for first place. They're 500-1 to win the division. Why isn't that 5,000-1? What's the point of that number? There's no 27 games back of LA. Like, I cannot believe 500-1 is still short. I don't know why anybody would put a dollar on that wager and go, wow, it's 500-1. You got to take a shot at anything, right? No. There's no chance. You're just blowing that money up. You're just burning it. By the way, we mentioned Antonio Senzatella. The record, and I remember this, Anthony Young, remember him? Back in the day, he's got the streak of most games with a streak of 27 losses. He did that from May of 1992 to July of 1993. 27 indecisions, losses. So right now, Sensatella's got 10 losses already and more wins than they have at 9. I mean, like, do you keep throwing him out there, Jensen? Like, you don't want it to be like Anthony Young. Every time he went to the mound as a Met, and I remember it very well, you were like, oh, well, this is a loss. Like, you hate that feeling, but I feel like that's where we are right now if you're trying to fade the Rockies and figure out ways to bet them.
Oh, it doesn't matter. I mean, they don't have anywhere else to go.
Yep.
Dave, I mean, it only gets worse if you call up guys from AAA that, A, haven't had any big league experience. I mean, you're throwing them right to the fire. Or B, you know, you have guys that have had some experience that you know aren't good, but you're trying to change it up a little bit. Now, maybe this guy will work better. That's why I said, I don't think they know where the bottom is.
Mm.
And that's some scary stuff from a historic perspective.
How about this from Tom Fornelli on X? Since May 2nd, Scottie Scheffler has won 3 times in 4 tournaments played. The Rockies have won 3 times in 28 games played. Like, what number would that have looked like? We're talking about May runs, right, for the most wins in the month of May in Major League Baseball. If we said that Scottie Scheffler would have as many tournament wins in the calendar month, and that would equate Colorado's wins in the same time span, what do you think that... I can't even imagine what the number would be placed. You'd say, well, there's no way.
No.
It's an impossibility. And that is, in fact, Jensen. How in the world can that happen?
That is just startling to even have the comparison there, right? You know, 4 tournaments. So basically, the last 4 weeks, you know, Scotty's won 3, and that's it. Like, you just think of the sheer amount of games. So what? Colorado's played 20 games. You have to fall into like 3 or 4 outside of the 3 that, you know, you tried so hard to win. Like, it is just so far from comprehension for those of us that played. And I have colleagues that I work with that, you know, do the broadcast for them as well. And I mean, even they don't have answers. Like, we don't know. Like, there's no answers. And that is probably the worst part. No one knows how to fix this organization.
Remember, this is win number 16 for Scotty now in the PGA Tour. When he got his 15th, which was at Quail Hollow, remember the Panthers had put out a tweet, or the PGA Tour had put out a tweet that Scotty has more wins in that time than the Panthers have wins in the years that Scotty has won the 15. Then they immediately deleted the tweet. I get it. I guess if you're a tour, you can't poke fun at an NFL team. But, like, this is the Rockies. They deserve all of this, don't they? Like, you can't be a major league outlet, be 9-50, and there's no way you can get me to bet them, Jensen. I guess you could look at the run line, the alt run lines, and say I could take 2.5 runs here and there when you have a day where it's a low total of 7.5, the wind's blowing in, something like that. But Jensen, how do you bet the Rockies or fade them? Like, how do we make money on the Rocks?
So. I mean, you probably are going with some player props, you know, depending on some home road splits. You're going to have to be very meticulous on day to day with some of the hotter position players. I mean, obviously, it goes without saying, you don't touch any of the Colorado starting pitchers at home. You're just asking for trouble and you're asking to get hurt. You know, it used to be a first five where certain pitchers, you know, Kyle Freeland for the last couple of years, you just take the over on total runs there for the first five. And those are usually around, you know, 7.5. And so you'd have like a 5-4 game after 5 innings. But I would say I would lean more to the player props. And, you know, I'll take a page out of Jonathan Davis's book, our great colleague here at VSIM. You know, the alternate run lines for... And there's certain books now, Dave, that are starting to hang 2.5.
Yep.
And so that's the crazy part, is you can't even get any of the value on the run line anymore for, you know, playing against Colorado. So just something to factor in as we move forward.
I mean, again, my guy Anthony Young, I loved him as a Met. 27 consecutive decisions that were losses in that streak from 92 to 93. It broke the mark set by Cliff Curtis, who had 23 consecutive losing decisions. That was back in 1910 and 11. Like, we're getting into historical stuff here with the Rocks, and I don't want Senzatella to be the new Anthony Young. We don't want that. You want to come out to Circa. All-in summer package right now. It's $400, two-night hotel stay. That includes your resort fees and your taxes, $100 dining credit, $100 beverage credit, a daybed at stadium swim. All of that now is up for you. It's going to run through September 4th at CircaLasVegas.com. I've told family and friends about this deal. That is as good as it gets. The great Will Hill, King of Connecticut, will kick off hour number three.